listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello. Welcome to episode 257 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good buddy Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very, very well. I've just cycled all the way here. I am now a cycling... I didn't have my Lycra on there, that's the only thing.
Well, you're good. I don't see the Lycra guys as proper cyclists.
Oh, I don't know. I think if you've got the legs and the butt, I think you need to do it.
All right, well...
So I'll be there.
Stand by for a photo on the show notes at some point in the months ahead. But yeah, good stuff. Yeah, you hopped on your bike, you're getting a tow bar fitted, are you, to your car?
Yeah, I'm a tow bar fitted today, which so will have drive... a bike rack on the back.
Is this so you can drive to the car park and then pedal around the corner?
Yeah, so I look really cool. Yeah, not breaking a sweat.
We're talking about in-laws today, and perhaps on a wider, widen out to kind of getting on with friends and family that kind of you feel forced to in some way, but whether you need to force it or not, we'll talk about that. liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links, loads from this week, and all previous episodes are there as well. If you buy a copy of our book, you can do it. You can pay full price, or if you want a discount, sign up to our mailing list and we'll give you a 10% code in there. Free meditation files. And what's this?
Change your life forever.
It'll change your life forever. And we're not up for an award, but we are...
we could be.
We could be. There's a podcast awards thing going on, and there's a kind of listener's choice section.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a kind of popularity contest, so the more votes you get for a show... Well, obviously, the winner takes all.
If we put all the details up on the site...
Yeah, I'll stick a link in the show notes.
Everyone needs to vote for us.
Because we might get a free night out of it. And,
champagne.
We could live stream it, you never know. We could do an episode about why people feel the need to want to be awarded things. Is it kind of ego stuff? Maybe we could do a live episode at an awards ceremony about why people are there.
Yeah.
Desperate for awards and recognition. But no, we'll stick the link in the... in the show notes, and we'll put it on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And if you could spare literally like 30 seconds to search for us and stick your email address in, it would be much appreciated. What have you been up to?
I'm just having crazy times, firing up the pizza oven.
Oh, yeah,
cooking loads of pizzas. Yeah.
We had quite a bank holiday weekend, didn't we? Weather was outrageous.
It's funny though.
You're looking a little bit.
I've caught the sun. But when I'm online to Qatar and they're all going, oh, so hot here, you know, it's 38 now and it's really humid. And we're all going, woo, it's 25. God, it's hot, isn't it? 25.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the difference in countries. And, yeah.
It is. Yeah, it was brilliant. I saw the little pizza shot of yours, so I know we need to get into your garden in the coming weeks and have a little go at that. But I was in Worcester over the weekend, which is a part of the world I've never been to. Oh, actually, we stayed in Malvern Hills.
Yeah.
Malvern Wells.
I played at the Malvern Festival, oh, long, long, long time ago, on my own with the guitar, 10,000 people. And I had them all singing A Day in the Life by the Beatles with the 12-string guitar. Yeah, it was amazing.
My word. Right, okay, well, I wasn't doing anything quite that exciting, but... What a lovely little part of the world, man.
Isn't it lovely, yeah?
It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, we were down that way for a christening and spent a few nights.
Yeah.
Hats off if you live in that part of the world and you've contributed to its stunning beauty and welcoming nature. Well done. Really cool. Right, we're going to crack on. Apologies if I sound a bit in a rush today, but I've got a meeting in 19 minutes and counting.
So we get this is a speed cast, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a speed dating. But
if you could pull the show notes up on your... stop looking at electric bikes.
I've got it up here.
We're talking about, in-laws today. Mike Southard, Arabic Mike, who's a YouTube sensation, digital friend of mine. Hopefully we'll meet her one day. That'd be quite cool, actually, in real life. He sent a little suggestion.
Isn't that weird, though? You have a digital friend.
Yeah.
And you might have known him for years, but you never met.
I know.
It's like Connie that listens to this. Hi, Connie. I've known Connie for years. We've never met.
Yeah.
But we've done
loads of stuff. Quite a few digital friends from this show. I haven't made any money out of it, but one day you never know.
Yeah.
But I'll settle for digital friends for now. But Mike sent us a little suggestion asking if we could talk about how to deal with in-laws. Whether yourself have any stories about this. Maybe things like, for example, getting cut out of wills, over-dominating in-laws, fallouts, how dealing with that kind of thing. So I think we have ages ago talked about something similar, or just kind of getting on with people in your life?
I think the biggest thing is, it's like a dog's not for Christmas, a dog's for life. Yeah, when you marry somebody, you don't marry the person, you marry their family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is really important, because I see it work in both ways, where a family will grab somebody and include them in, yeah, and which is great. But we say things like, are you gaining a son or losing a daughter, kind of thing. Because if your sibling starts to spend more time with the other lot, you know, do you feel left out?
Mm.
I mean, you're in an amazing position, because both your sets of in-laws, as it were, getting on with each other, don't they? So they go out and do things together, which is amazing.
That's cool. Really, it's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's luck or it's just that I deliberately kind of, you know, checked all that out before I kind of really got super close with Bethan or my wife. Cause I don't know. I wonder if I would have married Bethan if there hadn't been that kind of ease of kind of relationship between me and my in-laws and my parents and them as well. I'm sure we probably would have. But
it is like marrying a family, isn't it?
It just makes it so much easier. And I do see people, I've got friends and people that I know of that spend hardly any time with their in-laws, and kind of partly through geography maybe, because we're all living all over the show now, but also just because they don't get on that well, which is fine, because we don't get on with everyone, do we? So I guess the point, and the first point is, should you push it if you don't get on with someone and like your in-laws, should you kind of force the issue a little bit and spend too much time together, or is it better just to kind of step back and
I think there's no rules here. It's that different families. How often do I see things where somebody's in-law, because it has to be ones that their in-laws, comes to live with them, or they buy a big house and then the in-law has a granny flat in the house, that kind of stuff, and there are no rules. If you get on, it's a real bonus. It's a real bonus in all kinds of things, especially when you're young, you're having kids, and you get increased child support, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's really useful.
Yeah, we're at the grandparent stage, really, so we kind of rely on our in-laws big time. You know, right now, actually, my little boy Jacob, is with my mum and dad.
Yeah.
For the morning before he goes to preschool. So.
Yeah.
Bippenek. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And if that wasn't the case, you'd be really stuck now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you'd be having to have some kind of preschool or something, or
childminder's on holiday, so that's why. Yeah, yeah. So we're just juggling stuff, really. But it's just easy, and we don't push our luck too much with the grandparents, but it's never like too much of a burden for them, you know, to hang out with little Jacob and Will, because they're growing up fast and all that, aren't they?
They do it so quickly.
There are a couple of blog posts that I'm going to link to, which there's been quite a lot written about all this stuff again, and one of them is 10 basic rules for dealing with your in-laws, which we can work our way through. And the kind of the first point that a lot of them mentioned that I saw is kind of that it's important to remember that your wife, husband or wife, comes first in the relationship.
Yeah.
It's important to work with them on the external relationships of in-laws and parents beyond.
See, we're talking from a British point of view, but if you go into some cultures where when the woman marries a man, effectively his mother is the head of the house.
Okay.
So like the new wife has to do what the mother-in-law says.
Wow.
That kind of thing. And there are some cultures where automatically the female would go and live with the husband's family.
Yep.
But the mother, his mother, would be in control.
Okay. Is that Middle Eastern?
Yeah, some Indian cultures. And it's to do with some cultures are matriarchs, even though they may pretend that they're not. They may play the game and be patriarchs. It's a bit like in Jewish families, you get the Jewish mama, who very often is in control of everything.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we are quite unique in the UK and the West, maybe. Not the West as a whole, because I think even countries like Germany, there's more of a chance that the grandparents or the parents will live, maybe not in the same house, but there'll be a granny flat nearby, so that you will live much closer, in closer contact with your parents and your in-laws.
Mm.
Whereas in this country, and maybe in America as well, it's kind of everyone has their own little house, you know, four or five people in it, and your parents might live a mile or two down the road if you're lucky, but you're not like in each other's faces.
Yeah.
for good, for better or for worse. I quite like the idea. There's a big house for sale near us, which is way out of our price band. But part of the deal of the house is that it comes with a big garage that has planning permission for a 2 or 3 bed house to be upgraded. And I've kind of thought of the idea, I'd be quite up for the idea of getting a big house for the family house for us and having my parents live in the shack next door, man, because they'd have the 2 bed house and they'd be, yeah, I think they'd be quite cool actually.
Yeah.
It's like a 600.
Have you spoken to them, man?
I've kind of planted the little seed of an idea.
And do they look at you like you were mad?
Yeah, they haven't come back to me as of yet with any proposals.
Yeah. I think that bit is the bit that's so important, is that when you have a relationship with somebody, you have a relationship with their family. They come as a package.
Yeah.
And you can't separate that person out from their package. And lots of people do. They try to do that. They try and stop their new partner interacting with their own family in the way that they would normally, which can create a whole load of problems.
Yeah, but I mean, point two on this list of 10 basic rules is that it's important to set boundaries and limits. I guess for yourself and for the others in your life, the in-laws or your parents, just to say, now that I'm married or now that I'm in this other relationship and we've got kids, you know, maybe we won't see you at certain times of the week, or I don't know how strict you have to be.
I've had all kinds of cases where maybe the mother of the husband, you know, so the mother-in-law, maybe she's lost her husband, so the father has died, and then the mother tries to transfer those duties onto the son, and then there's huge conflicts with the wife and then the mother-in-law. Yeah. Because the mother-in-law is ringing up and saying, oh, can you come, you know, things that the father would have done. Yeah. Suddenly become the duty of the son, and that can be very destructive.
Yes.
Very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I am lucky that I get on with my in-laws super well, but at the same time, I'm a really different character to my father-in-law, Grimber. Like with the way we kind of work, the way we do things, he's a really super organised guy. Like, he plans things months in advance. Like, for example, we're going to have a sort of a part of our summer holiday where we're going to meet up and we're going to have a few days together in the northeast, and literally within a day, no, hours of us mentioning it, we'd had an email to say they'd booked the house and it was done, sorted, signed and sealed. Whereas I'm the kind of guy, like, we had a weekend away for a christening which we knew 6 months in advance, and then, but I hadn't booked an apartment a week before it. Like, my father-in-law would have just been tearing his hair out if it was some kind of shared thing we were doing. But my brain just works differently. But at the same time, despite that, we got on really well, you know.
And did you get a place all right? To
we
say,
did, yeah, we found a perfect place, nice little two-bed apartment, yeah, right, perfect spot.
Very good.
But we get on all right, I guess. But in terms of boundaries and limits, I think we do know our limits, like, as a father-in-law and myself, because I know that my limits in terms of doing work around the house, I've kind of given that to him in some ways. The shelves need putting up, or little bits of DIY. Initially, I was kind of quite, you know, I can do that, and I would kind of just botch things and do it and wait for him to come round and be looking at stuff that I'd done that was a bit dodgy. But then we found this kind of trade-off policy where I take care of all the technical digital issues in his life.
All right.
Setting up the routers, sorting the telly when he gets it, I know, issues with his video recorder or DVD recorder or whatever. I take care of all of that for him.
Yeah.
And whenever I need a little DIY job doing, Gwynby comes around and he loves doing it, because it makes him feel like a bit more of a...
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
So that there are our limits, not boundaries.
I think one of the things that can happen is that you can get a parent who decides that they've had enough of being a parent, so they now want to be looked after.
Right.
And sometimes that can be a function of, that's it, I've had enough, I'm worn out. And sometimes it's a function of old age and people starting to dement a bit.
Sure.
And they're needing to be looked after so that they can become more childlike.
Mm.
And that can be a problem in relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's two sides to this, is that anyone that's listening to this either has the potential to have an in-law, or they have the potential to be an in-law. And if you are an in-law, you can be sensitive about it and respect the needs and the boundaries of your kids and their families and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or you can if you have an in-law, there's also the issue of realising that they have needs as well.
Yep.
You know, as grandparents, they have needs, they have rights, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they need a bit of time off every now and again. So
yeah.
Every now and again, we'll ask if they can help out with the kids, and they'll say no. But I think it's important that I don't go too crazy about that, because they have a life of their own, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Communication is mentioned in the thing about not kind of letting things kind of bubble up or kind of grind you down too much. I think it's important to communicate your thoughts and feelings, which is tricky, but it helps, doesn't it?
But again, us Brits are not good at communicating emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, what tends to happen is Brits wait until they're full of steam and then they blow rather than actually talk as they go along. And that's a lesson that we could learn from our European cousins, who are much easier at just sharing emotions as they're there.
Letting off steam.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories of relationships, in, like particularly in-law or family relationships, where there's been a complete breakdown? And
I have loads and loads. I mean, it's crazy. I could write a book. But it's like the more horrific ones for me are when, and this has happened locally, where you get somebody in the caste system who is starting a relationship with someone who's in a higher caste. And people talk about honour killings and stuff like that, because effectively the potential in-laws come around and say, you're not doing this, and if you do this, we're going to break your legs, kind of thing, and they're serious.
Wow.
So you've got all that kind of stuff, right through to people being cut out of wills. I've had that. I can work with the family sometimes, and there'll be one sibling in the whole family that's been cut out, and they've been cut out because their new partner didn't get on with the parents and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, those kinds of stories are much more common than people realise, you know.
Wow.
But huge conflicts, and you are in an honoured position. You probably don't realise how lucky you are, because they all get on. You know, that is a golden thing. It's amazing.
I should write a book.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, on how to do it.
So yeah.
Get them to contribute.
Do you ever just see situations where people you just know aren't going to... They're just butting their heads all the time and it's unworkable?
Yeah.
What do you advise then? Like, just...
Well, you don't advise. You enable people to come to a decision. That's the deal.
Okay.
But there are times when I'm looking at things and I'm thinking, this is a car crash, and it's like it's looking at when it's going to car crash, and you can't say to people, okay, you're in a car crash. You can get them to look at it and examine it, but very often they have to wait until the car starts crashing before they sort stuff out.
Yep.
And sometimes it's too late then, you know, especially when you've got kids involved.
Just make sure you've got the seatbelt on.
But I think that back to that thing again. You don't have a relationship with the person. You have a relationship with their family.
Yep.
And you do need to check that out. You do need to go and meet them.
Yep.
You know, that dreaded point where you meet the in-laws, the potential in-laws.
Yeah.
It's like you need to do that. I mean, one of the jokes always was that if you look at someone's mother, look at your girlfriend's mother, that's what she's going to turn out like, you know. Which may or may not be true. It must be true for, if it's true for the men as well, isn't it? You know, looking at their parents.
Yep.
Is that what they're going to become? So you learn quite a lot about the person that you're with by looking at their family, how they interact.
Yeah, I remember the first time my in-laws, I had a short meeting at first. In fact, no, hang on, it's quite a funny little story. The first time I properly met my father-in-law was the night after I'd been out to a house party with Bethan, and we'd actually, we'd driven there. I'd been drinking, but Bethan hadn't, and we got out of the party, and there was a flat tire on the car for whatever reason. Don't know if it was let down or what. And in my drunken state, I thought, "Oh, we'll be all right. We'll be able to drive back home. It's only 3/4 mile." I don't know why we didn't walk, in hindsight.
Did you shred the tyre?
So, we drove really slowly all the way home, and, destroyed the tyre, completely destroyed it. So my first meeting with my father-in-law was the day after, when he had to come and basically sort the issue out completely because you couldn't just blow the tyre up. You had to swap it and put the spare on, I think. I can't remember. So that was my first... And I was at my house. I'd stayed over at Mum and Dad's, and Bethany had come back the next morning. So that was, it was a kind of nervous kind of laughter. Sorry about that, I just wrecked your tyre.
Which, of course, you offered to pay for it.
But then in the next... Yeah, the next proper meeting was a two-hour car drive. I'd gone to... Bethan was at university and I'd gone to stay with her in Lancaster, and then I got a lift back from my in-laws, so I had 2 hours in a car alone with her. And yeah, it was good, actually. It was good. It was just, I remember just chatting about all sorts, and I think, I don't know, I wooed them a little bit because I was chatting politics and all sorts, and I think they were bowled over with my wit and my humour and my knowledge of world affairs and all that. 25-year-old Ed. So yeah, it was good. It was a winner from the get go. But you got to woo people a little bit, haven't you? You've got to show your best side initially.
Yeah. And like on Mother's Day, does that mean that you need to make sure that your mother-in-law has a card or something, or a bunch of flowers?
Possibly. Yeah.
So sometimes people do that, and then the woman says, "I'm not your mother."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember growing up, my dad calling my grandma my mum's mum, mum, and vice versa, and I always thought that was a bit weird. I don't do that with mum. I just call her Jean. Some people do that, don't they? That's cool.
Yeah. I think sometimes you only have the option of maybe your mother-in-law is the only mother you got.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So treat her well.
Yeah.
I've got to run. Have you got a resource of the week?
Yeah, my resource is one of my own books, which I think everybody should buy.
Of course.
Which is What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic?, which is about relationships. It's about how people are different and how you make, break, maintain, repair relationships.
Yeah.
And that's as true if it's a one-to-one relationship with a partner as it is with in-laws.
That's what...
Same thing. Yeah.
It's just a series of relationships, all this life lark, isn't it? Whether you're married to a person or they're your in-law, or it's the person you work with.
Yeah.
You've got to get on with people, really. Yeah. Well, you don't have to, but you should at least try.
Yeah.
Mine's a little video, Happiest Man in the World, which is a little New York Times short film, 10-minute film, which is amazing. I saw it yesterday, about this guy, single... chap, older chap, about your age.
Young.
Who lives his life on cruises the world, and I don't know how he, didn't say how he affords it all, but he titles himself as the happiest man in the world. I'm not so sure he is. You watch it and see what you think, but it's quite interesting.
Okay.
livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links. Don't forget to vote for us in this podcast award.
So those details will be up on...
They'll be on the show notes and on our Facebook and Twitter page this week. So keep your eyes peeled and help us out if you can.
So can we vote for ourselves?
We can. And basically, I think it's on number of emails, so I've got 5 email addresses.
All right, so have I. Yeah.
So, vote as many times as you want. And we'll be back next week, won't we?
We will.
Cool.
Okay.
Take care, Sean.
Bye.
See ya.